All right, so y'all know how I say I'm the trillest NBA. I think that's true, but even my trillness has limits. And so the lawyer said that I can't be naming folks without saying allegedly. And I didn't say allegedly in this episode because it was my story. So Chris is going to kindly bleep out the names that I named in this episode, and it will still be impactful. Definitely, you guys have homework, right? So I hope you enjoy part one of this episode on how to build relationships. Even with the names bleeped out, it's still a great case for what not to do from my own life. So happy Sunday, and I hope you guys enjoy the show. Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose, A. Newha, aka the trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited that you came. If you're new to the podcast, go take a listen to episodes from seasons before. We're in the second month of season 5 and the third month of 2021. It has been a hell of a year, right? But we're making it. You know, I want to share with you a story. Before I went to business school, I had one of the worst managers of my life, if not the worst. I think this woman probably is definitely the worst manager I had. And I have had some horrible managers in my career, pre-business school and post-business school, right? But this particular time, it was right before I went to business school. I was working as a merchandise analyst. And later, I found out that everyone but this woman was enthusiastic about me joining the team and the company during my interviews and even after my interviews. So basically, she got outvoted and I got an offer and I joined the company. Now, this was my first time living outside of the state of Texas. I was taking a chance on myself. It was definitely a pay raise. I went from making like $35,000 a year to $50,000 a year. So that was a significant bump for me at that time. And y'all, if I had known then what I know now, all I can say is I was not equipped for the challenge ahead. And when I started, my first manager at that company was a nice woman, and she was trying to set me up for success. Like, she actually cared about her people and she wanted to see people do good work and succeed. And she was willing to train, coach, and develop. And I was coming in, and although I knew how to do the job, like I had done the job at another company, I needed to learn their systems and their software and their processes. And I've always been a fast learner, so I was picking up quick and she wasn't concerned. And actually, she was quite excited about the rate at which I was learning things. And, you know, I was very eager to prove myself. And so about 2 months into my new job, there was a reorg. I know a lot about reorgs, y'all. And so I got this new manager and her name was I'll never forget this woman's name. The only person on the interview panel that did not want to hire me was And from that day that she became my manager until the day I left that company, my life became a living hell. She straight up bullied me and was out to prove that she was right. I tell you all of this because today I'm going to use my story as the framework for what I should have done from day one, but especially after I found out that this woman did not want to hire me. And I had found that out pretty early on when I started reporting to her. Somebody had told me. And so today I'm going to break down how to strategically build a relationship wall to protect you from a horrible boss. But first, Corporate Warrior Spotlight. Today, our Corporate Warrior Spotlight is Laisha Ward. Laisha is the Executive Vice President and Chief External Engagement Officer at Target Corporation. Ward oversees Target's enterprise-wide approach to engage and deepen relationships with cross-sector stakeholders to drive positive business and community impact. In her 30 years at Target, she advanced from store management to Target's C-suite leadership team. She is also a founding member of Target's Racial Equity Action and Change Committee. Girl, I don't know how you have been in Minnesota. Maybe you're from Minnesota. But Laisha, kudos to you. Keep doing the work. Keep driving for change. I don't know Laisha personally, but one day I hope to meet you. We probably know some people in common if you ever get to hear this episode. But I am just proud that you are a leader in this space and helping a conglomerate like Target Corporation move forward and make life better for us all. And who doesn't love shopping at Target? Like, real talk, right? Now, I'm gonna build a relationship wall. But first, let's talk about this situation. Now, mind you, this situation and several others I and my friends have endured in the workplace serve as the catalyst for this strategy that I teach my coaching clients. So when you're in my coaching classes, when there's room and availability, and I will let you guys know, you will be the first to know when I open the next class. This is something we focus on because you have to build these relationships, not just to protect yourself from a bad manager, but to get promoted. Like, your manager isn't the end all be all say all when it comes to promotion in an organization. And so you need to recognize that. But also, your manager isn't the end all be all say all in order for you to manage your career properly at the organization you're in. And so in this particular instance, when I finally stopped being scared to speak out about the treatment I was receiving from this bully, she had destroyed my credibility in the organization. I had a skip level meeting with her boss. His name was and I will never forget. He said, "Been keeping me abreast of your work here, and you know, maybe you would do better and there's better opportunity if you would be a secretary. That might be a better fit for you." Now, no knocks on secretaries, right? Like, I love good admin. Lord knows I do. They are my friends. But he definitely meant that to demean me, right? Whew. Trying not to have flashbacks, y'all. So here we have someone who was enthusiastic about hiring me. So was one of the people that was on the interview panel. And I remember our one-on-one interview, he was very excited about me. And he probably was the one that had the veto power and said, "No, I want her." Even though probably launched an assault even before I set foot in the door, right? This is difficult because we're human. And so basically, this man who I had talked to once when I started, right? Just a cordial, glad you're here, blah, blah, blah. And mind you, he had a pretty big team of analysts and planners and all, you know, the people. And so reported to him. And because I didn't build my own relationship with him, anything that told him, because he had a relationship with her, he believed her. And so by the time I came to state my case or try to share what was going on with me, he had been indoctrinated with a picture of who I was based on someone he trusted and he knew and he had a relationship with. So by the time I came, you talk about this person is a snake. And the funny thing is, from LinkedIn, this half is still doing the same job. She's probably done tortured all kinds of people. So she had painted this picture that I was incompetent. I didn't know how to do the job. I wasn't good at the job. And basically to prove her point why they shouldn't have hired me anyway. Now, I know a lot of people, we want to have this idea like, well, that doesn't mean that she is racist, Felicia. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not going to call this woman racist, right? Because I don't know if she did this to me because I was Black. I don't know if she did this to me because I was fat. I don't know. All I know is I distinctly remember her being very adamant about another coworker of mine. We all started around the same time, whose name was "You remind me of me when I was your age and starting out in my career. You're just so wonderful and you're just so great." Meanwhile, at my desk asking me questions on how to do our job. So great. And don't get me wrong, was a sweet person. She wasn't dumb. She wasn't incompetent. It's just when you're trying to learn a new system and learn a new job, everybody, you know, has their issues here or there. And I can say that she, not but was particularly ugly to other of my coworkers, again, who did not look like was a cute little white girl, just married. So they had a lot of coffee. She would go, "You want to go grab coffee with me?" Right? So clear favoritism. But geez, like, have your favorites, but just treat me neutral. Can I get neutral? This woman was an absolute bitch. And I wasn't the only one, right? So I'm not going to say she's racist, but she was a bitch. Okay. So I'm having this second meeting with about a year into my role, and she's completely destroyed all my credibility. And I couldn't process all this back then, but now I realize when you start a new role, you have got to go in with a plan to build relationships. And so even if you haven't started a new role, but you know your relationship wall is not there, you haven't built the relationships to protect you, you better start. Like, the sooner you start, the better. So listen. Of course, you want to have a great relationship with your boss, but that's always a coin toss, right? It's always 50-50 up in the air. Who knows? And when you become the direct report of someone who didn't choose you, like I did, God help us all. So that's why it is imperative to build this relationship wall. And building the wall is your plan of attack to build relationships, right? So after the break, I'm going to break down the tools you need and the actions you need to take to build your wall of relationships when we get back. All right. So as y'all heard, Chris put me on blast the last episode of season 4 and pretty much said, "You gonna ask these people for help and you gonna start this Patreon." So I started a Patreon page, working on additional content. Go on over to patreon.com/TrillNBAShow and become a patron and help us make more dope content to help us survive and thrive in corporate America. All right, and we are back. Listen, I get so jazzed about strategizing about this. It's so exciting to me. So first, we're going to get into the tools that you need to build your wall. And there's really only one concrete tool you need outside of pen and paper. And that is an org chart. Yes, an org chart. So what is an org chart? We always talk about this. I know some people still like, what's an org chart, Felicia? It's an organizational chart. It's a chart that shows all the reporting relationships. So who is managing who, who's reporting to who, from where you are to below where you are to up above where you are and all the way to the sides, right? There are different charts in the organization and they put these people in boxes. And then they put lines in between the boxes to show the reporting relationships. That's an org chart. So you can do one of two things to get a hold of one. The first thing is easier than the second. First, I've told you many times before, the very first relationship you need to make is with all admins. The admins are your friends. They are your support system. They will take care of you, okay? They know the company inside out. They know where the bodies are buried because they have access to all the emails of the people that they support. So they read all that. Listen, these people know what they're doing. They are highly capable, highly smart. They sometimes make more than you do. So do not sleep on the administrative support teams because they are a wealth of knowledge. Make friends with them. So you go to your friendly neighborhood admin and you say, hey, I need an org chart. I know there might've been some changes recently. Hey, even if they weren't, right? Just say you need an org chart. Now, some organizations are real particular about who they give org charts to. So let's say the admin's like, oh, I don't have one or I can't give it to you or whatever, whatever. Fine. Then what you do is you go to your either Workday system or whatever system where all the talent stuff is. You can go in there. Workday gives you an org chart. You can kind of scroll up and down and over and look around the whole organization. So I like Workday for that. If your company doesn't use Workday, they use some type of program to, you know, put your information in the system, show where your talent management is or how you got hired, what roles you applied to. You put in your annual objectives, wherever that is. Sometimes there's an org chart in there somewhere to show you where you sit. And then you should be able to see up and down and all around. If that doesn't work, you can get out your handy dandy email, your Outlook. Most of us are using Outlook. So you get out Outlook and you put your name in. And you click on it and it'll say organization and you click into your organization and it'll show who your manager is or you click on where your manager is and then that'll show who that person manager is. Now that's the long, painful route because there's a lot of clicking and a lot of click, write it down on a piece of paper, figure it out. But again, if you have to make your own org chart that way, do it. The time is worth it because you need to understand who's who and what's what and where and why, okay? And so the org chart is going to at least give you the lines of that information. So try to get it the easy way first, but if you can't, go ahead one Saturday, make you a cup of whatever you drink in the morning, and get your pen and paper and get your computer out and get to cracking, okay? Now, let's talk about where you need to focus, especially if you're building this on your own. The part of the chart where you are focused is your manager, your one-up manager. So that's your manager's manager or your boss's boss, right? That's your one-up. Your two-up, right? So it's two-up, two people in between you. So your manager and your manager's manager. Your two up is that person, your boss's boss's boss, right? So you want to focus on your one up and your two up, and you want to focus on your manager's peers. So all the people that report to your one up, and you want to focus on all the people that report to your two up. So those are your manager's manager's peers. I hope that makes sense. So let me slow it down a little bit and I'm going to repeat it. You should probably have a pen and paper while I'm talking. So the people you're going to focus on are your boss, your boss's boss, your one up, and your boss's boss's boss, your two up manager. Okay. So if you put it in, see in the org chart, you'll see you, then a level up, then another level up, and then one more level up. But just that one person is what you want to be worried about. When you come down, you want to worry about that whole line. And then when you come down again, you want to worry about your boss and that whole line. So those are the people in your wall consideration set. These are your targets for building your wall. I hope that makes sense. Once you've identified who these people are, now we need to prioritize these people, right? And we're going to prioritize them based on the following. The first thing you want to prioritize who you're picking from this group to target is you want to think about perception in the culture. So what is the perception of each of these people in the organization? Is it positive? Is it negative? Are they likable? Do they work on hiring projects? Do they have a good reputation? You know, what do their direct reports have to say about them? What does your boss say about them? Right? Do you see them working well with others? Does it look like this person's on a fast track? You know, is this person deemed the golden child of the group? Regardless of whether or not the person is an asshole or not, like, are they the golden child? Like, if you can identify the golden children, the fast tracked, the quote unquote, oh yes, that's just such a high performer. And everything they do, like, they piss excellence. They can do no wrong. Put them higher in your priority, right? And start from favorable to least favorable. So they can have a really good reputation. People can really think highly of them. But like, if they're not being fast-tracked, you may want to put that person after somebody who's being fast-tracked, even though the fast-tracked person may be an asshole. And trust, you'll find a lot of times that the people on the fast track, first of all, they're not even the most qualified or competent. Let's be clear. They got a sponsor, and that sponsor is powerful and moving them along. One time I worked for a company, and this is a different company than the company I was referring to earlier, but the CMO, this person had been named CMO, and they had gone, at that time, they had gone from intern to CMO in like 11 or 12 years. Listen, they say favor ain't fair, but I'm like, well, who gave the favor? God or the devil? Child, I don't know. But let me tell you something. Sometimes people are good at executing and getting things done, and they are trash at being a people manager. Learn the difference. And sometimes people get fast tracked because they were good at executing earlier in their career. Doesn't mean they're good people leaders. Let's be clear. But you need to discern all of these things as quickly as possible, because this is going to help you figure out, well, who should I be working to build a relationship with? You also want to think about who are the loud people, right? The people with influence. Let's face it. Some of these leaders are just more influential than others. Listening and observing can usually point out to you who the most influential people are. Who has the high visibility workload? Again, like, that shows that you have influence by the projects that you have. They can be special projects. They could be, you know, very important projects, VIPs, right? Also, who's presenting all the time in the department meetings? Who gets attention when they speak? So what you want to do is, as you're working through this, if you've worked with the company over 90 days, then spend 2 weeks intentionally paying attention, right? In meetings and workshops and all this stuff, having chats with colleagues, you know, even with talking with your boss. And you'll ask your boss, hey, what leaders, you know, that are peers to your manager do you admire? Just to see what they say. Because a lot of times what will happen is, your boss will tell you, oh, I admire such and such and such and such. Not necessarily because they actually have a relationship with that person, but because the organization has deemed that this person has a certain perception and everybody's bought into it, right? It's not necessarily because the person is really that great. Not saying there aren't great people out there. I mean, we're out there. We're in there. I'm just saying the people who get the shine and the accolades and all the, you know, accoutrements, sometimes they're just not the best ones. They're not the best talent all the time. It's unfortunate. But again, favor ain't fair. But you want to sit back and you want to take some time and figure out who are these people in the organization chart that I'm focused on, because five of these people I'm going to use to build this wall. The other thing you want to do is you want to look at your own project list and you want to try to discern which one of those people in your manager's line, so your manager and his or her peers, or your manager's manager's line, which is your one-up boss and then all of their peers, who's going to be most interested in your work? Whose work or whose workload and what they're responsible for is impacted by your workload? And sometimes, even though I'm saying that that's a lower priority on, you know, while you're picking the people that you're going to go after first, sometimes having that connection can make a more natural rationale to have a reason to meet and connect, right? So you also want to look at that too, to start to shape up who your top five people are that you're going to go after amongst your one-up and two-up organization, right? The other thing you want to look for, and this is dead last, yo, like real talk, prioritize these other things, but any interest in the organization that you share. So let's say you're in the Black employee resource group, and let's say one of these people frequently comes, sponsors, you know, especially after George Floyd, like, you know, who's trying to be an ally, shit, use that. What you're doing is you're looking for two things by this exercise. One, who's the most influential? And two, who would be more interested in connecting with me? And hopefully some of those people will be the same person and overlap, but sometimes they just not, right? The people who are most influential should get priority over people who it might be easier for you to connect with. The reason why you want the second one where it is that if you can't connect with the influential people, at least connect with some people, right? Now, once you have given some thought to this and you have your pen and paper out, if you haven't already done so, write down your top three people from your one-up level and two people from your two-up level. And this will be your first five, your top five people you want to go after. I hope this is all making sense. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about how do you start to engage with these people and start to build this relationship wall when we get back. The Trill MBA Show is happy to announce a partnership with a fantastic organization named Juno. Juno uses the power of group buying to help people get lower interest rates on new student loans and student loan refinancing. So if you're like me and you got a bunch of student loans and the interest rate is high, Juno can help you get lower interest rates so you can pay off your student loans faster. Listen, I am so excited about this. Why? Because Juno is completely free. It is a free resource. You have no obligation to take the offered deals. Juno gives power back to us, the borrowers, and allows us to take ownership of our financial future. I am so excited about this partnership. And the process to becoming a member is simple, and it only takes 2 minutes. So check out the link in the show notes to learn more and get lower interest rates on your student loans, y'all. Let's save this money, okay? Now back to the show. Okay, we're back. So now that you have identified the top five people you need to build your relationship wall, how do you engage? Right? Like, Felicia, I didn't even think to talk to any of these people. Like, I mean, are they really that important? So you did the analysis. You saw that they were influential in the organization. Now, understand, why three people from your manager's level? Because you need three people in the room during calibration when they're making decisions. Now, your boss is going to be in that room. But think about it. If you have built your own relationship with three of your boss's peers, and so you have given them a firsthand look at your work, what you do, how you do it, your positive attitude, your great energy, those people are all in the room with your manager talking about all their direct reports, right? And you're included in that. And so if your manager tries to come in and say, well, this is the experience I'm having with Felicia, and I think she has opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Well, if these other people know your work and they're influential and they're vocal, they'll be like, well, I actually met with Felicia like a month ago and she showed me the results from this project and I thought she did a great job. Like, is there something that happened? Like, they'll start asking questions, because what you want to do and what you'll be doing by building this wall is creating cognitive dissonance. So your boss will be talking shit about you, but that's not the experience they've had with you. And then they'll be confused. They're like, why is this going on? Or they'll come back to you and they'll say, hey, I want to help you. I want to work with you. Hey, I heard this. Can you explain that? Like, they'll try to seek for some resolution to that cognitive dissonance, right? Because it's not making sense. Like, I met with you, I worked with you, I saw what you did, you showed me your results. This isn't adding up. So that's part of the wall, right? That's why we're doing this, okay? So, again, how do you engage with these people? This is where managing your career is like dating, right? Sis, you gotta shoot your shot, right? That's how you engage. You gotta put yourself out there. Remember, these folks are simply human. So let go of this idea that you are going to have a career-limiting conversation with them. You're not. Trust and believe. So let's take a step back for a moment, because I need you to feel this, right? Because managing your career is not simple. It's not easy. It takes a lot of forethought, a lot of intentionality, right? But at the end of the day, I want you to understand, no matter who you are, where you came from, what you look like, pedigree, non-pedigree, whatever, you are on a journey and you are on your own path, right? And so even this bitch ass couldn't take my shine away from me, couldn't take what God had for me away from me, right? Like, I guarantee you, I make more money than she does today. I guarantee, I would bet money. I would bet my money, right? In a way better position and so much more capable than she ever wanted to give me credit for. And there's nothing she could do about it. So understand, these people, they're just human beings. They're flawed. They got their funky shit. They ain't really that special. Organizations try to put all these CEOs and shit on pedestals and shit. Half them people don't know what the fuck they doing. They just been around a long time and maybe have an opinion about stuff, and they can speak well. They can string some sentences together. Some of them can't even do that, right? But again, they provide something to the organization that the board of directors said, yeah, sure, we're in. We buy that. We want that. That's really what this is. Do not let this whole system of corporate in the workplace get you confused about who you are and whose you are. Okay? And I've shared this with you before, But for you ambitious newbies, let me tell you the secret again. The signal that you are ready for the next level is confidence. When you treat leaders like the regular, degular ass people they truly are, it signals that you get it and you can be in a room with anyone and hold your own. That's confidence. Confidence in your abilities, confidence in what you bring to the table shows you are prepared. Preparation brings you confidence. Confidence signals preparation, right? And so that fear, that timidness, that overly respectful deference, that's not how leaders act. There's respect. There's a mutual respect shared, right? So when you're ready for the next level, you're ready for a promotion, right? Your confidence will be that signal to you and to the organization. So now, the simplest thing to do is to reach out using the priority info you gathered that we spoke about earlier, and then send the following email. Hi, Bob. I'm on the XYZ team, and I wanted to connect with you to talk about, and then insert either their project or your project. I want to gain your perspective as we move this project along. Your input is valued. Now, if they have an admin you want to write, do you mind if I reach out to name the admin to schedule 30 minutes with you? If they don't have an admin, just say your input is valued. I'm going to find 30 minutes on our calendar, but I wanted to give you a heads up. So I'm going to find 30 minutes on our calendar for us to connect. I'm sending this email as a heads up. Sincerely, Felicia, right? Now, your goal in the next 2 weeks is to schedule these 5 meetings with these 5 people. Okay? You can do this. Do not be afraid. And listen, I know I don't want to share my business. Listen, Google yourself, okay? Google yourself, and whatever is on Google, that's what you share with people. So don't worry about telling your biz or being vulnerable or whatever. Just be a human, okay? Do not be afraid. I say be a human, do not be afraid, but humans are afraid, right? Like, it's so not fair. So if you're going to take this challenge on to build your relationship wall, I want you to hit me up and let me know how this is going for you. In about 2 or 3 weeks, I'll release part 2 of this episode in April. So it'll give you a chance to do some of the homework, and then we'll come back and workshop it a little bit more. And we'll talk about how to mitigate hesitancy or people flat out ignoring your request to connect. So hint, you just need 3 of your manager's peers and 2 of your one-up manager's peers in this wall, okay? So hopefully you have a number of people to work with. We'll also address, let's say, you know, you're in a smaller organization. How does that work, right? I'll talk about that in the next part. But I do want to hear from you, okay? So don't fret, my pet. I am here to help. This is a process, but it will be well worth it when all these people are advocating for you, right? Especially as you're working to grow your career at this organization and even outside of this organization, because you may surprise yourself and gain some good sponsor, advocate, mentor relationships that you can carry throughout your career. Okay. So this is just step 1. And I know this is hard for us because we just want to go to work, do our work, have our work speak for us because we are excellence, and then just go on about our business and just promote me. That's not how this works, guys. So this is why we're doing this. Okay. So if you need some help or advice about a specific situation, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. Now, if you are doing this homework or you have any questions, you don't want to schedule paid time, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. Okay. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation and ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. Listen, you guys, we have to build these relationships, and I'm on a mission to help us do that. We are going to work through this together. I got you. Okay. So do your homework. And until next time, keep it true. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.